Welcome to the Elite Life Church podcast. We pray this message strengthens your faith and helps equip you for living the life God created you to live. Connect with us online at elitelife.church. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, that your word is truth. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. I ask that our love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that we approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Amen. I am who the word says that I am.
I am who the word says that I am.
I do what the word says to do.
I do what the word says to do.
And I have what the word says that I have.
And I have what the word says that I have.
I choose to open my heart to receive everything the Lord has for me today. Today, I'm continuing the series, Your Real ID. In my last message, Blessed, I shared the real ID truth from Galatians 3:9, I am blessed. Galatians 3:9, so those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. I share that the blessing bestows God's divine empowerment and provision to accomplish his assignment. I had the opportunity this past week to remind myself that I walk in the blessing of God. So I got a notice for our home internet last week that the cost was going up by $30 per month. That was almost a 50% increase. We've been paying $65. It was jumping to $95. And I felt a little frustrated when I got it because I had just renewed a contract with them in August, so it wasn't supposed to go up for a few more months. So I was a little shocked by it. So I reached out to them and found out that we were actually losing a discount that they had given us because we have our home internet and our cell phones all through the same company. But then I found out, in addition to that, that they were making some changes to the cell phone lines as well, and our cost was going to go up there in addition to the home internet. So I was feeling a little frustrated. So I ended up going into the store and they ended up adjusting our home internet and got it down to $85 per month. So worse than it was, but better than it was going to be. So for that, I was like, okay. And they gave me a price guarantee for 5 years. So I don't have to worry about going up again over the next 5 years. So I was thankful for that. But then with our cell phones, somehow there was something that happened during the switch that adjusted our plan a little bit to where I wasn't able to be on the grandfathered plan like I'd wanted to be. So I had to call in and get switched over to it. But in the meantime, I was feeling frustrated. And I remember stopping and thinking, you know what? Lord, all of this is going to work out for our favor because I walk in the blessing of God. I don't understand it. And while it feels frustrating at the moment, I'm going to stop. And instead of feeling frustrated about the situation, I'm going to take a few minutes, pray over it, cast all my cares on the Lord about this, and then go and say, you know, Lord, what are we supposed to do here? So as I started praying about it, I remember the Lord just kind of dropping in my spirit that I needed to look into changing our cell phone lines. And I was like, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to look around and see what's out there. So I started doing some research on it and ended up finding cell phone lines that were better for all of us and less expensive. So we completely switched cell phone companies to a different cell phone company, got a whole lot more data, faster service, and ended up being less expensive than we were paying before. So in the end, while it felt a little frustrating initially, I reminded myself, no, we had the blessing of God in our life. Whatever's going on here, Lord, show me what I'm supposed to do. Give me direction here so it works out to our benefit. And in the end, it's a much better situation all around for our home internet and for our cell phone plan. So just a reminder, whatever we're walking through, don't allow the enemy to make you feel like a victim and feel frustrated in this situation. Remind yourself that you walk in the blessing of God and ask the Lord, what is this an opportunity for? Is it an opportunity to bless someone else? Is it an opportunity to walk in the blessing myself in an area? In this case, it was a blessing to our whole family with a situation that ended up overall being less expensive and better. So praise God for that. Be open when the Lord, or when you start going through something that may seem frustrating on the surface, ask the Lord, Lord, I know I walk in your blessing. Show me where that is in this situation. Help me walk in your blessing in this situation that I'm dealing with. In our last message, we closed with Ephesians chapter 1, 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Now, I'm going to share a real ID truth for you in today's message that goes right along with that passage. John 17, 17 has been our key scripture throughout this series. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. This was Jesus praying for believers that we would be sanctified in the truth. And the word of God is truth. It's where we gain knowledge of our true identity. It's where we gain knowledge of who God is. It's where God reveals himself to us so we can understand who he is, thereby understanding who we were created to be. Today is part 17, your real ID. I've titled today's message, Accepted. So everyone has an earthly father. Being a dad has been one of the greatest blessings in my life. And it shaped the way that I understand my relationship with my heavenly father. And the beautiful thing about it is the more I've grown to know my heavenly father and who he is, the better earthly dad I've become. No matter what people's situation was, I'm really blessed that I come from a Christian family, and I had a dad who loved the Lord. And while I recognize areas in his life that he didn't fully understand his identity in Christ, I've also recognized areas in my life where I haven't fully recognized and understood the identity of who I am in Christ. And the more I grow close to Christ, the more I'm able to grow. But I look with gratitude on that because some people have fathers that were very ungodly or all kinds of other situations. And as I think about the blessing that it's been for me to have a father who does seek after the Lord, who loves the Lord, that's been a huge blessing on my life compared to what other people walk in, where they may have a completely twisted image of God through a very ungodly father. I think of my father-in-law and the blessing that he has been in my life. And he's with Jesus now. But for our time with him, I learned things about my heavenly father that I didn't learn from my earthly father. There were certain things I learned from him that I ended up understanding from God that I didn't grow up with. So it's having that, the blessing of understanding my heavenly father through earthly fathers, and all of us have a view of the father based on our natural father. But ultimately, what I want to look at today is the fact that our heavenly father has to come first. When it comes to our identity, we're not supposed to draw our identity from our earthly father. What do I mean by that? Well, we see here in Matthew chapter 4, 18 to 22 from the ESV. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, and they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Of course, this is speaking of Jesus, where Jesus was the one calling them. Verse 21, and going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. The Lord comes first in our life. They left the family business and their father to go follow Jesus. This became real in my life in 2020. We had recently moved across the country to follow God's plan for our life and didn't fully know what that was going to entail. As late or mid-2019 that we moved to Colorado from Ohio. And then towards the end of that year, the Lord began stirring in our heart that I was to go to Bible college to prepare for what the Lord had for me next. And in looking into it, Meg, I started doing some research on it and found out that the Bible college was from 8 o'clock in the morning till noon. And at the time, I was still working full time. So I thought, you know, I'm going to just talk to my dad because I worked for the family business I had for the previous little over a decade. I thought I'm going to talk to him and just see if I can shift up my work hours. So I'll come to work after I get done with school and work in the afternoon and evening and work and go to school. And when I shared everything with my dad, he was excited to hear that God had called me to Bible school and I was willing to follow God's plan for my life. But he said, you know, I don't see how you're going to be able to work here and go to school. So if you decide to go to Bible college, which I think you should, if that's what God's calling you to, then you're going to need to step away from the family business. And at the time, that was difficult for me. Now, the Lord had already told Megan previously that I would be leaving HIS, and I hadn't really seen that. So I was like, oh, okay, hun. Well, when it came down to that time, this was February of 2020, that I was presented with the opportunity of follow what God's called me to or continue on with a family business. And I remember going out that day after I received an email from my dad telling me that. And I went out and spent the day with the Lord. As I prayed about it, I was like, you know what? I'm going to follow God's plan for my life. I don't have to do anything else. All I need to know is, did I hear God call me to Bible school? And if I heard God call me to Bible school, then that's all that matters. I'll walk away from whatever, I'll do whatever to follow that plan. So I did. Now, looking back on it, I didn't know at this time, but that was February of 2020. Stepping out of business and responsibility with the business at that time was the best thing that could have happened for me as well, because I didn't go through all the changes the business went through as COVID hit and things shut down and door-to-door sales was completely closed down and everything in the industry shifted. And I didn't have to go through trying to figure that out along with focusing on Bible school. I was able to fully focus on what God had for me. So while I didn't realize it at the time, it was the blessing of God that that was when I stepped away and began stepping into what God had for us next. But when God calls us, he comes first. When it comes to anything in our life, we have got to make sure that our Heavenly Father is first place. We see this in Matthew 10, 37 to 39. ESV says, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. We see it here as well when it comes to leaving our father and mother for the kingdom of God. Mark 10, 28 to 31 from the ESV. Peter began to say to him, see, we have left everything and followed you. Jesus said, truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Because our Heavenly Father comes first in our lives, we are to receive our identity from Him and His Word, not from our earthly father or anyone else. Our identity comes from Him. So how do we know what that's to look like? Well, we look to Jesus to know the Father. John 17:3 says, "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Knowing God and knowing Jesus is what life is all about. That is your primary focus in life, is to know Him. When you go to spend time in the Word, don't go to the Word thinking, okay, what do I have to do? What do I need to do here? Why do I have to? No, go to the Word for relationship's sake. And what do? We go to the Word to understand who our Heavenly Father is. And we understand it as we see throughout the Scriptures how He interacts with people. And then ask the Lord, Lord, why did you interact that way? You know, a lot of times in the Old Testament, it can be a little confusing. Like, Lord, why did you handle that situation the way you handled it? But when we ask Him and understand that all of our Old Testament theology has to be filtered through Jesus. That means when we read situations in the Old Testament that cause us to pause and go, wait, that doesn't sound like a very loving God, or that doesn't sound like, you know, something God would do. Well, first off, if the Word says God did it, God did it. Whether or not we fully understand it in this moment isn't the important key. The important key is God's revealing something to us about His character in it. But everything we see in the Old Testament, we can better understand when we look at it through the lens of Jesus. Why is that? That's because Jesus, understanding Jesus, is perfect theology when it comes to God. Theology is a study and understanding of who God is. When we understand God through the lens of Jesus, then we have a proper picture of who God is. And that's because the Word tells us that Jesus is a perfect representation of the Father. I've shared this before, but it bears repeating in this message. Hebrews 1:1-4 from the NASB. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom He also made the world. And He is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power. When He had made purification of sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, to the extent that He has inherited a more excellent name than they. Again, verse 3, and He is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature. Jesus is the exact representation of the nature of God. Anything you read in the Word needs to be filtered through an understanding of who Jesus is. We see this as well in John 14:6-14 from the ESV. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also." This could have been translated, "If you know me, you will know the Father also. From now on, you do know Him and have seen Him." Philip said to Him, "Lord, show us the Father and it's enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does His works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Jesus's purpose is to glorify the Father. He reveals the Father to us so that we can understand who God is and Jesus, whom he sent, and then we understand how to conform our life to his image. The more I've grown to know Jesus and my Heavenly Father, the better father and husband I've become. When I think back to my early fatherhood days, there's a lot of things that I've thought of at times I'm not proud of, especially when it comes to the way I disciplined or handled things with harshness. I viewed God through a lens of a disciplinarian and harsh taskmaster, and someone that it was very difficult to live up to, that I had to be perfect as he was perfect. And I understood that to mean that I had to get everything just right. And anytime I didn't, I thought he was coming down on me. And as a result, I let that flow through in my parenting because I thought that was the proper way a father was supposed to handle things. The more I've come to understand that I get to know the Father's heart through Jesus, and the more that I've come to understand that it is by grace that we stand in the grace of God, that it is by grace that we are saved, and everything that comes to us comes through the grace of God. It comes through the grace of God, and then we receive it by faith. So it's provided for us by his grace, and it's received by faith. It's not based on our works. We don't have to go earn it. When it comes to living a life that brings glory to our Heavenly Father, let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 5, 43 to 48 from the ESV. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You, therefore, must be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. You know, I took that verse to mean that I had to be perfect in all of my actions. My perfectness comes through the righteousness of Christ. I am perfect through the grace that God has provided to walk in that with the Lord. It is the righteousness of God that makes me perfect as my Heavenly Father is perfect. It's not based on my actions. Now, because I'm righteous, because I'm perfect, I do those actions. It's understanding that, first of all, I receive it by faith, and then I walk it out. So that as I go through life, I do these things. I love my enemies. I love those who have done hard things to me. I choose to forgive them and walk in love because of my Heavenly Father. I spent a lot of time thinking that I had to do all the right things in order to be perfect, in order to be loved, in order to be accepted, in order to be righteous. Understanding you receive it by faith is key. And then you do the things out of your true identity. You walk according. That's what we've been talking about, our true identity. All the true identity points that we've been sharing are received by faith, but then we choose to walk in them and walk according to them. Ephesians 5, 1 through 10 from the New Living Translation. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in the things these people do. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. It is the light within us that produces what is good, right, and true. It is us living according to our true identity, knowing it is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Knowing who we are in Christ, understanding our identity, and walking in that, that allows us to live above the things of the world, to set aside those things that we choose are not to be part of our life, and choose instead to walk in the truth of our identity as we identify with our Heavenly Father, as we imitate God. How do we imitate God? We have to know who God is. How do we know who God is? We understand who Jesus is, and we spend time in His Word reading about Him, and then spend time fellowshipping with Him in our daily life, communicating with Him, and living in relationship with Him. That's how we do it. Matthew 5, 14 to 16, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So why do we do the good works? It is so that others can see the good works and give glory to God in heaven. Now, it's not so they can see our good works and pat us on the back. Jesus said, if we do our good works to be noticed by men, then we have our reward already. We've got to do our good works for God. Do it because of who we are out of our identity. Now, understanding that, it's really important that we understand our actions versus our identity. And I hit on this already, but I'm going to drill it in a little bit. My actions are not who I am. Understanding who I am influences my actions. When I understand my true identity, I'm going to walk according to the truth of the word. I'm going to follow what I'm called to follow. If I'm relying on my actions for my right standing with God, I've got it wrong. That doesn't work. I can never measure up based on my own ability. Back when I thought and saw God as a harsh taskmaster and thought of him as a disciplinarian who was just waiting for me to mess up so he can come get me and discipline me type thing, I lived with this constant state of I'm never measuring up. And I go to bed at night and think, okay, what did I do wrong today? I didn't measure up. I didn't do this. And it became a really hopeless situation where it was real easy to let the enemy just beat me up all the time by feeling like a loser, feeling like a failure, because I knew I wasn't ever measuring up as good as I should be. No matter what I did, I felt like it was never good enough. That comes when we try to earn something that we can't earn. It was impossible for me to live up to God's perfectness in my own strength. And the longer I tried to do it, the more frustrated I became, to the point that I got to a place where I was like, you know what? I just give up. I'm not even going to try this. And that wasn't the right decision either. Ultimately, it was understanding, coming to learn the grace of God and understand that it is through His grace that I've already received what I was seeking. We can spend our life trying to earn something that can only be received by grace. A lot of people spend their life trying to prove something to themselves. There are a lot of men that are going through life trying to prove that either they are something or they're not something. And they're spending their life trying to prove to themselves and others something about them. A lot of people go and try to find success in business to prove something to someone else. Well, see, I made it. They said I'd never make it, but I did. Ha, there, I've proven something. Sometimes we try to prove it to ourselves that we're enough, that God made the right choice in choosing us, that we can do something, or that we wouldn't ever do something. Whatever those things may be, I want to challenge you to stop living your life to prove anything and instead begin living your life out of the truth of who you actually are, out of what God's already said about you. With that, we go through then and we understand from the word, what are the things that we want to do as we submit to him? And when I say want to, let me clarify that. The flesh never wants to submit to the spirit. But the more you understand who you are in the spirit, the more the real you wants to grow closer to Jesus. The more you want to become conformed to his image, the real you. The flesh is never happy about submitting to the lordship of Jesus because the flesh is at war against our spirit. So when I say want to, when you spend time with the Lord and you spend time growing close to him, you want to, in your spirit, be conformed to his image. In your flesh, it's a matter of crucifying the flesh in a regular basis and putting down the flesh so that you can live according to the spirit. But I don't put down the flesh so I can make God happy. I put down the flesh because the more I know who he is, the more I want to be like him and be conformed to his image. So I do that because I know that has no part in my inheritance in the kingdom of God. The flesh has no part of the kingdom of God. Your heavenly Father has chosen to accept you. You are accepted not because of your good works, but because of his glorious grace. We ended our last message on blessed with Ephesians 1, 3 through 6. This is where we're going to pull our real ID truth for today. And what it really is, it's the same word we talked about last week, but I'm communicating it differently because the word had depth of meaning. It's important to grasp the meaning in this and understand it as part of our identity. Ephesians 1, 3 through 6 for the New King James Version says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved." Our real ID truth for today, Ephesians 1:6, "I am accepted in the beloved." That word accepted, the ESV translates it blessed, "to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved." It is a blessing to be accepted by God. And it is all through grace, through God's grace that he's made available to us. And we receive it by faith. It is not something that we can earn. It's not something that we can get more of. He has already made it available to us through Jesus. That word accepted or blessed is the Greek word to grace, to endue with special honor, to make accepted, to be highly favored. It is the favor of God upon your life, the blessing of God upon your life that has made you accepted in his eyes. Don't go around feeling like you need to earn something that's already yours through faith. receive it. Receive God's acceptance. And it's not an acceptance of our flesh. It is an acceptance of our true identity in Christ, who we really are. Our flesh is never acceptable. That's why we are to crucify our flesh. That's why we're to put it on the altar and crucify our flesh so we live by the Spirit. Romans 8, 28 to 30 from the NIV. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those whom God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called, and those he called, he also justified, and those he justified, he also glorified. You are accepted by God. You are accepted in the beloved. Understand, your Heavenly Father loves you with a love that is beyond your comprehension. And as we go through life, we don't go through life trying to earn anything. We go through life living out of what he's provided for us. And letting your light shine so that you bring glory back to God. What can I offer to God? I can offer a life that's pleasing to him and an acceptable sacrifice to him so that it brings glory to him. And because I have received from his grace, his glorious grace, all the blessings that he's bestowed upon me and everything he's done for me, when I understand the goodness of God, it is my desire to give something back to him. Have you ever received something that was such an amazing blessing to you that you just wanted to give back? You wanted to somehow give something back? That is our response. A life that's lived to bless God. A life that's lived for his glory. And we do that not because we're trying to earn anything, but because we understand what we've already received. In closing, the real ID truths that we've learned so far. Ephesians 3:17, I am rooted and grounded in love. Colossians 2:7, I am rooted in Christ. Colossians 2:10, I'm complete in Christ. 1 John 4:11, I am loved by God as his beloved. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I am a new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21, I am the righteousness of God through Christ. Romans 8:16, I am a child of God. Ephesians 2:19, I am a saint. Ephesians 2:10, I am God's masterpiece. Galatians 4:7, I'm an heir through God. 1 Corinthians 1:8, I'm guiltless in Christ. Ephesians 2:6, I am seated with Christ in heavenly places. Psalm 139:1, I am known by God. Psalm 139:14, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. 1 Thessalonians 1:4, I am chosen by God. Romans 8:30, I am called by God. 1 Corinthians 6:17, I am one spirit with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6:19, I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 John 5:4, I'm an overcomer of the world by faith. Romans 6:11, I am dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Matthew 5:13, I am the salt of the earth. Matthew 5:14, I am the light of the world. Galatians 3:9, I am blessed. And Ephesians 1:6, I am accepted in the beloved. Heavenly Father, I thank you for accepting each one of us. I thank you for your amazing love and your grace upon our life. I thank you, Lord, that we don't have to live our life trying to be accepted by you, but you have chosen by grace to accept us in the beloved. Thank you for your amazing love for us. Thank you, Father, for the privilege and opportunity to live our lives to bring glory to you. Thank you, Lord, that our lives shine to all those that see our lives and that they give glory back to you as they see us walking and being conformed to the image of Jesus. Father, I thank you for helping each one of us this week understand deeper who we are in you so we can conform every area of our life to you. Father, I thank you that when we miss it, that we are quick to repent. When we mess up, we're quick to turn and change. When we make mistakes that hurt others, I thank you that we're quick to ask forgiveness. I thank you, Father, for your amazing love for each one of us. And Father, I just thank you so much that we are accepted. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
This is Pastor Tim Howe. Thank you for listening. For additional resources to help you live an elite life, visit EliteLifeMinistries.com.